Our reading today is Psalm 23, and I've added on a verse from 1 Timothy as well. So let's read Psalm 23 together first. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as mentioned, a warm welcome to you all. It is always a privilege to bring God's word to you here at this congregation. And it's good to be on home turf, so to speak, as well. And it is lovely to be here. But I really want us to focus here. I've shifted it slightly from just Psalm 23, but to 2 Timothy here. On the gift of God's peace. And I want to start with a story that happened about a month ago, where myself and my two boys, who are there, and I hope they're being good boys, and we'll see afterwards, and Jose and Mateo, and we'd gone on what we call a mountain adventure. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there is quite the mountain above Pontyberem. It's called Llangadair Mountain. And I'd never been there till I'd moved to Pontyberem itself, because there's a road from Pontyberem to Carmarthen that goes up the top of the mountain and down to Llangadair. And I'd never been on that road before till I'd moved there, because you wouldn't normally go that way. And when you get to the top, there's a trig point, and it's actually an amazing viewpoint. From there, you can actually see clearly to the Preseli Mountains, Cody Island, the Gower, Devon, all the way across the Llynafan Fach, just about, not the lake, but the mountain, and then all the way over. It's a really amazing viewpoint. And so we decided, right, we're going to go on a boys' little walk here. So it was Dad and the boys, and we decided to go up and go for a walk. And as we were walking along, it's one of those wild pasture areas, and I could see that there was a lot of cows there. And so the cows were roaming around wild. And so I said to the boys, okay, so we're just going to walk calmly. But they were kind of blocking our path to get up to the top. And so we parked the car, we couldn't get there. So I said, right, what we'll do is we'll cut ahead of them. And there was one of these little shortcuts, a very narrow walkway, and there was kind of like wild kind of bushes around. You could just about walk single file through, and then from there there's a clearing, and then you'd be able to get up on the path and to the top. But by the time we'd come around, the cows had moved. And the cows were all in front of us. And there was one cow, he'd come to the entrance of where the path led, and he was looking at us with a bit of a challenging look from a cow, to be honest with you. And I'm aware, and I've got the boys with me, so me and Jose and Mateo are there. And I just stood there for a minute thinking, if they don't move on, you know, the boys, they're big boys. But, you know, they're 4 and 6, and there's a lot more of them than us. And so, you know, maybe we'll make a retreat here if they don't move on. And these cows, they didn't move. They were staring us down. So I was starting to think, right, I better head back. We'll go back the other way. And Mateo, he was in with the rear guard action, watching our behind, and he said, "Daddy, look." And I turned around, and I kid you not, a cow had followed us up the narrow path. And I didn't think they could do that. It's not very even, it was rocks, and it was narrow. They had effectively outflanked us and surrounded us. And in that moment I thought, how have I got myself in this situation? And Miles is going to kill me, because I'm in a position where we're now in a dangerous spot, where we're surrounded by these cows. There's a cow behind us, he's looking pretty mean. There's a cow in front of us, he's looking pretty mean. You can't get sideways. What are we going to do? We are outflanked and surrounded. And you know, cows can be quite dangerous as well, you know. That was going through my mind. You know, in life, a lot of the time, we can find ourselves unexpectedly feeling surrounded. Sometimes things seem to be going well, and then all of a sudden, one thing leads to another, and you feel not one thing has gone wrong, five things have gone wrong, and you feel totally surrounded and stressed out. And it's not just things that might have happened to you in your personal life. It might be, well, what's happening on the news now? You know, the economy's crashing, we're changing prime ministers, there's a new war, this is happening, and then someone's health has gone, something's happened with my job. It is easy to feel surrounded on all sides. And David in the Psalms, he speaks a lot of that feeling. He says, Lord, I am surrounded by my enemies. I'm in a pit. Would you help me? I need to get out. Would you help me? I'm surrounded. And Psalm 23 gives this image, which is an interesting one, because at one point in Psalm 23 it says, he prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Now it's a comforting image on one hand, because the Lord prepares a table for us. But on the other hand, it's a slightly scary image, because the image is of the Lord giving you a table, but your enemies are still all around you. The Lord is protecting you, but he's not removing the enemies from your sight. There's a sense of somehow God can give us peace even in the midst of all kinds of things swirling on around us. But how do we do that? How do we live that? How do we live in that peace? I don't know about you, but I struggle with peace. I'm here, there and everywhere, doing so much. How can I live in peace that the Lord promises he can give us through grace? As many of you know, and I thank you for the condolences for the passing of my grandfather, Alwyn Jones, and we had the funeral I think it was last week or the week before now. And, you know, he was my hero in so many ways, the person most like Jesus that I've ever known. David's tribute to him was wonderful as well in the funeral. And I reflect on him and his kind of, he was not a pretentious man, but yet shined with Jesus' love somehow. Yet one of the things, just reflecting now about this service, I was thinking, I've got this is my mission praise book I always use, by the way, is the one he gave me, his name is on it, and all his favourite hymns are on it. So I was thinking of him. You know, I don't think I ever saw Dickie stressed. He didn't seem stressed, ever. He always seemed to be in a place of peace. Even when thinking of situations, maybe he should have been stressed. But he lived in God's peace. How do we do that? How do we live in that peace? And I'd love us to focus here, just briefly tonight. This isn't going to be too long. We're all very hot and bothered. But 2 Timothy, I think, goes along with Psalm 23 a little bit here. 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul ever writes. This time he's in a dungeon, and it's not house arrest. It's a dungeon. He's about to be executed. He's in Rome. It's the final letter that he writes to Timothy, the guy he's mentoring. And so it's his last words to Timothy. It's full of incredible verses. But it's interesting that he tells Timothy this. He wants to tell him, for God gave us a spirit. So that tells us, first of all, it's not earned. It's not worked up. You can't beat on your will to get to it. God gives us a spirit. Not of fear. Not of fear. When we live in fear and stress, we're not living in the Spirit. Not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Power, love, and self-control. It's worth looking at those three things briefly, and then we'll maybe pull it all together. So God has given us a spirit, not of fear. We're meant to be living in peace. We're meant to know that He is the good shepherd, that He will guide us, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it doesn't say to the valley of shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death, out to the other side. Goodness and mercy is going to follow us. That's the promise of Psalm 23. But what does that look like to receive this spirit? Firstly, it's a spirit of power. Of power. You know, it's a saying, isn't there, that people say, you've got more in you than you think. And it often happens when you think of athletics and things like that. I remember growing up, you know, when I was 7 or 8 or whatever, and it was in the 90s then, and the thing I loved watching on Saturdays was Gladiators on ITV. I loved watching Gladiators. And the theme song to Gladiators was, do you have the power to be a gladiator? And if you've ever seen it, you've got, you know, it was very pantomime style. You've got these normal contestants, and they've got all these gladiators, and they've got to compete against them. But the final thing was the travelator. They had this incredible obstacle course, and then they had to run up this kind of, it was like a hill there, but instead of a, you know, what you'd run on to jog, oh, what are they called, the machines you run on? A treadmill, that's it. It was a treadmill in reverse, but down a hill. So you'd effectively be running up a hill with a treadmill spinning downwards. So you were to run up and get to the top, and then you'd swing through, and then you'd win. And so many times you'd notice that people would get right near the end, and then they would slip and they would go all the way back down. And you could see them having a talk to themselves in their head. You can hear them saying to themselves, I can do this. And their family and friends shouting, you can do this. And nearly every time, they could do it. They could do it. They had more in them than they realized. There was a bit of a mental game. They did have the power to get to the top, but it was a case of having that determination and that final moment to get right over to the other side. Well, if that's true in the natural, how much more is that true in the supernatural? The Bible tells us, greater is He living in me than he that is in the world. That the Holy Spirit, God's own presence, dwells within us. We have the power to live at peace. We do have that power because God's Spirit is one of peace. He gives it to us. We do have that power. It's whether we choose to live with the light of the Spirit. But it's there. You know, through the Lord, we can do all things. Paul even makes up a new word in the Greek. He says, we are more than conquerors. It's like a new word he uses. We are more than conquerors. We are hyper conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I could read you off so many different Bible verses to tell you that through Christ, through the work of the Spirit in us, we have been given a spirit of power. Power to live at peace and joy and love in every circumstance. It's a gift of God. The second thing it says to us is that we have been given a spirit of, I'm going to skip the middle one and come back to it, self-control. Self-control. Self-control is something that I think is more and more difficult in the modern day, because you need less self-control than ever. Before, if you were craving a takeaway, you'd have to get in your car and drive to get it. And maybe that wasn't worth the effort. Now, if you're craving a takeaway, a couple of clicks, and it's coming to your door. The gap for self-control has gone a lot less. Everything is quicker, faster. But we've lost maybe a sense of that self-control. The Lord tells us that He wants us to live in that self-control. To be a people who don't give in to panic, who don't give in to the lie that you are your feelings and that's it. Actually, we can choose to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You know, some of the fun we have with taking the boys to the park, you know, up the park and everything, and they're climbing on slides and balance beams and all those things. A lot of that is actually about the self-control, mentally, right? Of, I can do this. I can walk over this. I can get there. The Lord asks us, would we be a people of self-control, who decide that even when I don't feel it, I'm going to live in this. My youth pastor, you might know him, was Mike Adams. And he used to say to us, your emotions and feelings are fantastic servants and bad masters. You cannot let yourself be enslaved to them. You should listen to them. They are telling you something. You shouldn't just block them out. But you need to remain the master. We are called to be a people who say, we will have self-control. We will do what is right, even when it doesn't feel like it. We will live in this, whatever comes our way. We will live in that place. And then finally, we've been given a spirit of love. A spirit of love. It is love, ultimately, is what enables us to conquer. Love is what enables us to sacrifice. Love will enable us to go further, to do more than you thought was possible. You know, whenever, if you have a newborn, you can function on less sleep than you ever thought possible. For love. For love. For love of your child. Although, I mean, you don't have much of a choice, I guess, but still, for love. Love enables you to do things that are actually scary. It enables you to do it. But it will only work to the measure that you know you are loved. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. The antidote to fear is love. Receiving God's love will push the fear out. It's cast it out. It throws it away. It's receiving His love is what will enable us to do so. But we have to continually come back to that place where we receive God's love again and again. We can't pour out of an empty cup. We need to receive it so we can pour it out. And when we feel that fear, we are to remember that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Who loves us. Wants the best for us. And that enables us to live in that peace. If I come back to that story, what happened on Llangadeirin Mountain with the boys and the cows? Well, I'll tell you what happened. There was no way going back, because that cow would, there was no way past him. With the hedges, he totally blocked us off. The only way was to go forward. So I said to the boys, right, first of all, they are more scared of you than you are of them. Remember that. Then I said to them, so, we're not going to shout, we're not going to panic, we're not going to run, we're going to walk slowly and calmly together. And they looked at me, and they nodded their heads. I said, right, come on, we're going to go. And so, we walked calmly through the whole herd of cows. All the time I'm thinking, if something happens, where, if I pick up Mateo, where do I run and all this? But we walked slowly and calmly through the cows, and we got to the other side safely. And I reflected that the reason they were able to do so was because first, they trusted that I love them. And they can trust what I say. Second, because I love them and they trust what I can say, they decided that they would have self-control, that they would walk calmly, and they would walk with their heads held high as if they had power. And so they were able to walk across calmly with power because they trusted their dad loves them and is telling them what they need to do. In the same way, brothers and sisters, I don't know what it is that you're carrying. I don't know if you feel surrounded today. I don't know what the problems are. And the Bible doesn't say all the problems will go away. The Lord Jesus says, in this world you will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. The promise of Scripture isn't that the enemies will go away. It's that the Lord is the good shepherd who prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. and his goodness and mercy, and the word mercy could be translated loving kindness, will follow us all the days of our lives. Whatever is happening right now, I would encourage you, as I'm speaking to myself as well in this, to continually go back to his presence, to his word, to prayer, to worship, to receive again his peace and his love, that even when the circumstances don't change, we can change, because he's with us in it. He is the fourth within the flames. He stands with us and will lead us through and out. We can trust the Lord Jesus because he showed us by his example. In Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus asked the Father, "Is there another way?" And the Father said, "No, there is no other way." And yet the Lord Jesus, in love for his Father and in love for us, walked with courage and self-control and power all the way to the cross. That power was not shown by striking down his enemies. That power of the Lord Jesus was shown in walking sacrificially to the cross and in love dying for his enemies, for the ones crucifying him, for me, and for you. Here is love vast as the ocean. Here is love from which we can receive peace. Here is love that we can know that he has demonstrated his love for us, that he died for us. And sometimes we don't know the reasons why some things happen, but we know that the reason is never because he doesn't love us. He does love us. He is with us. And in that place, next to the Good Shepherd, we can have peace. If you've ever been to Bethania, you might have seen when my grandfather fell and he broke his back, if you know the story. He had to lay on his back in the garage for a long time. And his brother, Howell, who was a Baptist minister, he gave him a massive sheet. And on that, he spent months drawing a picture, a portrait of the Good Shepherd. And wrote on it, "Mavi eu abigail da." If you go to Bethania today, it's still up in the vestry. The revelation. He is the Good Shepherd. Ve eu abigail da. In that place, we can trust and live in peace. Let me pray. Lord, I pray, would you forgive us when we live in stress and worry? Would you help us to realize that by grace you have given us a spirit, not of fear, but of love, power, and self-control. I thank you, Lord Jesus, at the cross you showed us what that looks like. And now we can receive your love. Lord, we thank you you're with us, that you lead us, you prepare a table for us. We thank you for your kindness. Help us, Lord, to go from this place feeling lighter, knowing the burden is shared with you, knowing that your peace is with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.